giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I count it a blessing to again teach and preach and proclaim the Word of God. James chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. And as usual, I will be reading from the New King James Version. James, starting at verse 1 in chapter 5, it reads, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the laborers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." May God bless the reading of his word. Let us look again at verses 7 and 8. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And we want to focus a few moments this morning on the topic, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God, our Father in heaven, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord God, that we are hearers of your word and doers of your word. I pray, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. I pray, Lord God, that we wait on you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In this life, there will be extremely hard obstacles and difficult situations. And if you have not had them yet, just keep on living. There will be incredibly difficult people that will stand in opposition to you. It can involve your health. It can involve your family or friends. It can involve your finances. In this life, there will be matters that arise against you that seem too tall to go over, too low to go under, and too wide to go around. And your power and your strength and your knowledge will not be sufficient to get you away from that hard place. And you may even fast and pray and ask God for wisdom, but the situation may seem like it is not changing. Well, the Bible has just one formula to address that. Wait on the Lord. Verse 8 says, "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Now, the word patience, as it is found in the Bible, carries a much deeper meaning than the way we often use it today. We think of patience as simply as our willingness to wait, but when the Bible speaks of patience, it means not only the ability to wait, but also the ability to remain steadfast and to endure, despite the presence of pain, despite the trials, despite the difficulty, despite the opposition. To be patient, as the Bible encourages us, means to hold up even under a heavy load. Patience is the capacity for us to tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit that God desires His children to develop. Patience, sometimes referred to as long-suffering, originates from God, and it is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. But patience doesn't develop overnight. God's Spirit is required to develop patience. Colossians 1 and 11 says that we are strengthened by Him to great endurance and patience. Being patient is not just throwing your hands up in the air and just accepting bad situations as they are, though. Being patient is learning how to endure and grow stronger, knowing that God's timing in resolving the matter is perfect. And patience is one of those attributes that you cannot learn by reading about it. It is a quality that can only be acquired by experience. When everything is going your way, patience is easy to demonstrate. But the true test of patience comes when your rights are being violated, when someone has offended you, when another car has cut you off in traffic, when you are being treated unfairly, and it seems like there is nothing that you can do right then in the moment to try to right what is wrong. A trial is not a trial unless it makes you want to quit. Trials and difficulties can be so severe that we may think that we cannot go on. But those who will patiently endure their trials and keep looking to the Lord for His strength, they are promised a great reward. And that brings us to the passage of Scripture here in James chapter 5. In our text, James is showing us how to respond rightly when we are wronged. The first verses of chapter 5 provide the context. James wrote this letter to people who were being wronged by the rich. These prosperous, evil people were taking advantage of poor people, of poor Christians. There is an old saying that the more things change, the more they remain the same. Today, many who are rich and powerful are oppressing those in their domain who don't have the wealth and the power that they have. Today we have oppressive governments around the world suppressing the people. Today we have many dying because someone is trying to make money off of them with little regard for their health and safety. James back then saw the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. He wrote in verses 4 through 6 about how the rich and powerful were cheating their way through life, and that was 2,000 years ago. It does seem the more things change, the more they remain the same. Because even in our country here today, almost 2,000 years later, the average CEO makes on average 278 times the average worker's salary, 278 times. The minimum wage in our country is $7.25 an hour, and that does not even keep up with inflation because it has not been increased since 2009. Even though the cost of living has increased 20% and the price of housing and health care have increased even faster. In our country and around the world, people at the top are enjoying wealth, and they are seeing the highest stock market that has ever been seen, while people at the bottom of the economic ladder are working paycheck to paycheck and working harder and harder for less money, and having now to risk their life to do it because of COVID-19. And when it comes time to go to battle, to go to war today, the rich and powerful are not sending their children into battle. No, they are sending the children of the lower classes into the battlefield to fight and die, simply to protect the economic and political interests of the rich and powerful. So yeah, it does seem the more things change, the more they remain the same. What we see now, James saw this was happening back then, almost 2,000 years ago. And James was writing to a people that were faithful, who were faithful, but still struggling under the injustice and inequity. And so James here in chapter 5 was essentially saying, if you as a Christian are being terribly wronged, the Lord will come through and make things right. And when he comes through, he will righteously judge every person. He will vindicate you. So be patient. But be careful, though, and make sure that you are doing the right thing. Because if you are not doing the right thing, he will judge you as well. Yes, these Christians that James was writing to were just like us today, or many of us today. They saw the ungodly appearing to prosper. And naturally, they may have been wondering, is it worth it for me to remain faithful? Is it worth it for me to follow the Lord if it means hardship, if it means self-denial, and if it means suffering? But James was saying, yes, it is worth it. Because when Christ shows up, he will reward you and punish the wicked. So wait on the Lord. Again, verse 8 says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, like the rest of the New Testament, this book of James was a letter that was originally written in the Greek language. And when you examine this word patience here in verse 8, James used the Greek word makrothumeo, which means perseverance and long-suffering. Patience here means to persevere without giving in to anger or complaining. Patience here is the spiritual ability to be obedient under a difficulty that isn't likely to change anytime soon, to run the race to the end despite the pain that is trying to get us to stop and quit. But patience is not about being passive. Patience involves being active. Because James tells us, his readers, to establish our hearts, which is another way of saying strengthen your heart. Stay focused. Do not waver. Especially since you are so close to receiving God's promise. The day of the Lord is at hand, which means that it is close. It's closer than you think. We read here where James used the example of farmers. Farmers are hardworking people. And although they work very hard, their success at the end of the day is based largely on waiting. No farmer sows seed and goes out a week later expecting to see a mature crop. They wait through the long growing season for their crop to finally become ready for harvest. The farmer knows that it takes time. Farming is a slow process, but if the farmer works at it and then God sends the proper sunshine and the proper rain, eventually it will yield a harvest. And James is saying here, be like the farmer. While he or she is waiting on that crop, the farmer does not sit around doing nothing. The farmer is fertilizing the land, watering the land, pulling out the weeds, killing the bugs, and preparing the barns for the harvest. We cannot control the timing of the day of the Lord, but James is saying here and makes it clear that we can control how we respond while we wait. And so as I move to my conclusion, perhaps you have a situation in your life right now that is tempting you to throw in the towel. And so if every preacher is supposed to preach a three-point sermon, let me give you my 3 points here and now. Point number one, be patient and wait on the Lord. Point number two, be patient and wait on the Lord. And finally, the third and final point, point number three, be patient and wait on the Lord. You are someone that either has just come out of a trial, someone that is going through a trial, or someone that will at some point in the future enter into a trial. And when you are in that place, be patient and wait on the Lord. Do not quit. Hang in there and know that help is on the way. Keep your eyes on the Savior, knowing that He is at work. And sometimes we just can't perceive it, but His timing is for our best. Even when we cannot clearly see what He is doing on our behalf, we can take it by faith that He is working it out because we know Him and trust His character. And we know that Jesus, the righteous judge, will settle it all and make His people victorious. And we can be patient because Jesus is patient. Jesus is our example. Being all God and all man, Jesus demonstrated patience time after time after time after time. As a man, Christ did not strike back, but wisely and patiently left any retaliation due in the matter to God's judgment. Because the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even now, He's perfectly patient with you and me, even with all our faults. And that ought to encourage you and me, because He did not strike us dead when we were rebelling against Him. He gave us time and space to come to Him. And so as we leave this call this morning, do not quit. Hang in there and keep your eyes on the Savior. He is at work, so wait on the Lord. Don't despair when God seems to be taking more time than you wish to act on your behalf, because He knows best, so wait on the Lord. Your harvest is close, and the coming of the Lord is near, so wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, O God, we thank You for this moment. We thank You for this time, Lord God. And God, we just ask You, O Heavenly Father, that despite anything that we may be going through right now, God, we ask for Your perfect patience that comes, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, for You, by Your mighty power and Spirit, to help us, Lord God, to endure, to persevere, to be patient, and to wait on You. God, we thank You. We thank You for who You are. And Lord, we thank You for being with us and leading us and guiding us, knowing that You will be right there in Your own perfect timing. And we can just wait on You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.